Welcome to our study on the book of Jeremiah. We are going to take selective passages, selective truths from this great book of this great man, Jeremiah the prophet. And first of all, we should understand the scenario in which this prophet ministered. It was the time of King Josiah, one of the godliest kings that Judah ever had, who sat upon the throne. And at this time, it's the 13th year of Josiah. And Josiah came to the throne at the age of 8. And so, basically, he's only 21 years of age. Jeremiah is probably around the same time. And Zephaniah, who is a contemporary prophet, was about 25, 26 perhaps at that time. Well, we're looking at, first of all, the call of Jeremiah. That is what this episode is all about. The call of Jeremiah the prophet. And it's not just an academic study, how did God call Jeremiah, but to understand some of the principles in this call that would apply to our own lives. Because that, after all, is really Christianity. It is the impact that the Bible has upon our own lives in transforming us and making us ready for heaven above. Well, we are introduced to this man. He lives just outside Jerusalem, in a little village called Anatoth. He comes from a priestly family. Hilkiah could possibly have been the high priest, his father, at this time. And certainly he was linked to other members of the religious community in Jerusalem. Huldah could possibly have been his aunt, and she was a prophetess. And also, the book of the law that had been lost for so long was found again about this time. Now then, Jeremiah was a priest and a prophet. You know, the priest has a sense of an innate desire for holiness. And the prophet, well, from his lips come forth the message of God. Comes forth often from a broken heart. Because the prophets in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, had long preparation before they were actually called to minister to the people. And Jeremiah was ministering to a very backslidden people. He was ministering to those who had once known the Lord and had come away from the paths of righteousness. And really, that's how we are today. In so many countries, I would say that without hesitation, the churches could be overflowing if everyone who had made a commitment to Christ remained on the pathway of righteousness. But unfortunately, that is not the case. In fact, the Bible basically is the history of the nation of Israel that knew God in a very intimate way, had seen the mighty works of God in Egypt, had experienced being kept and nourished in the wilderness, had seen not only the Red Sea open, but also Jordan open, had known of the mighty plagues and miracles that God did to deliver them from Egypt, had indeed experienced the miraculous provision in the wilderness, whereby God fed the people with manna, and all those things they had seen. And then God by many wonderful demonstrations of his power, enabled Israel to enter into the land of Canaan, the land that we call Palestine today, and inhabit the land, a good land. He gave them prophets. He gave them the righteous kings, David and Solomon. But, you know, the problem in life is this continuance. And Israel did not continue in the ways of God. And really, that is a problem of life. You know, one starts well, one might continue for a time, and then, so often, the fire goes out. The fire of the love for God goes out. And the result is that people become very slothful in Christian affairs. And the result is that they go away from God. And you see, a void cannot exist. And if there is a void, if the presence of God has left one's life, the problem is this, that other things come rushing in. And so it was with Israel. Other things came rushing in. Idolatry. You know, they were saying to a stone, "Thou art my father. Thou didst bring me up out of Egypt." Oh, how shameful that is for man, made in the very, shall I say, likeness of God, with intellect, saying to an idol, "Thou art my father, thou hast brought me up, thou hast nourished me." But you know what the Apostle Paul says? You know, people that worship idols worship demons, and behind those pieces of stone that they worshipped were actually demons who were directing their life. And of course, demons brought them down into terrible immorality. And really, Israel at the time of Jeremiah was something like Sodom and Gomorrah. But isn't it like that today in the Western nations and in many other nations too? Virtually like Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, what things are taught and accepted in our schools. And one wonders why we have such problems in society today. You know, we're in an area where we minister to children. And those children, you know, we say, "Well, where do you want us to take us back? We brought you from this house." Well, they say, "Well, I'm with my mother tonight." So we go to another house. We leave the children off after services in another house. And virtually these children stay perhaps the weekends with the father, and the week, during the week, they're with their mothers. And the father and the mother have different partners, shall I say. The children are in confusion. They think that's the way they should live. So when they grow up, they make the same mistakes. But the awful thing is this, that they have been trained, perhaps, in Sunday school. They have been come to church. So many have accepted Christ as their Savior. And then afterwards, they've backslidden. And that was the state of Israel. And so, God is calling the prophet Jeremiah to a ministry of great nobility, great understanding, great compassion, to bring the people that once knew the Lord back to him. And that is really where we are in the church today, that so many have left the church and gone into the world, corrupted their morals, and yet God, in his compassion, is crying out and opening up his arms to them and say, won't you return? Well, we come now to the man who was chosen by God to indeed be his mouthpiece, to indeed express his heart of sorrow and compassion for the people who had wandered far from him. You see, the terrible thing is this, that if it was only this life that we were concerned about, we would say, oh, you're going to have a rotten life. You're going to have a life of misery. You're going to have a life of bitterness away from God. But it would only be this life, a life of 70 years, perhaps 80 years, if we indeed are full of strength. But you know, it's not the case. It's eternity. You see, an eternal fires await the backslider. Terrible torments in hell await the backslider. He will have his portion with the hypocrites. Oh, the misery, the torments of an eternity in hell. You know, one of the descriptions of hell is this, that there is no, shall I say, pain on earth that is comparable to the pain that one suffers in hell, which is below the surface of the earth. The lake of fire, the terrible torment of being constantly consumed and yet not consumed by that eternal fire. So you see, God knowing this, and if you look into the New Testament, you find it again with the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke more of the torments of hell than he did of the joys of heaven, because more will shut their ears to the pleadings of God than those who open them and receive eternal life. Well, I want to come back to Jeremiah and some of the very important truths in this first chapter, which is devoted to the call of Jeremiah the prophet. You know, he starts off, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, and said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Now here we have a very solemn truth that applies not only to Jeremiah, but applies to each and every one of us. God is saying to Jeremiah, look, before I formed thee. So it's God who forms us. God who forms us in the womb of our mother. King David brought this out in Psalm 139 in a very poignant way. And he said, all my members, that is all the members of our body, our hands, our fingers, our feet, our arms, our head, our hair, every part of our being, King David said, was indeed written in God's book before the foundation of the world, and Christ forms us according to the pattern that God himself has written that should be indeed the way that we are formed. We are so intimately known by God that Christ could say this, that every hair of our head has a number. We are so intimately known by God. And that is why, you know, Isaiah the prophet says, you cannot say to your parents, what have you brought forth? No, God is the one that's formed us and created us and known us before the foundation of the world. And all our members were written in his book. What a book that must be, you see. And so he says to Jeremiah, look. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. I set thee apart, I sanctified. That's what sanctification means. Setting apart for the purposes of God. And Jeremiah was set apart to be a prophet to God. So there is the first lesson, in a sense, that we must apprehend. You know, Jeremiah, known of God before the foundation of the world, before God formed him in his mother's womb, God knew him, ordained him for a specific ministry. In the same way, God knows each and every one of us. And before he formed us and gave us life, he knew us before the foundation of the world. Now that should give great comfort, because it means that God watches over us. You know, the intimacy of God with his creation is also shown by Christ when he said, there is not a sparrow that falls to the ground, but your heavenly Father knoweth it. And so he said, how much greater are ye than the sparrows? And so God knows everything about us. And that is why we should commit our life into his hands and say, you knew us. Oh God, what is your purpose for us? And that I might fulfill that purpose. But in order to do so, we've got to come back to God. And you see, you know, coming back is quite a difficult situation, because here in Jeremiah chapter 1, he gives us an understanding of what the ministry of Jeremiah is. And I'm reading from verse 10, and he speaks about rooting out, you know, throwing down, destroying, pulling down, four things, you know, and then he says to build up and to plant. You know, when we go away from God, you know, we get a lot of baggage, if I could say that. We open ourselves to the things of this world, to sin, to immorality and lustfulness and whatever it be. And all those things, you see, when we come back to the Lord, you know, all those things, you know, have to be rooted out of us. And there's four things that he speaks of, rooting out, putting down, you know, and throwing down and so forth. Four things, he says, and only two things to build up and to plant. You see, God's got to cleanse us. And that cleansing takes a long time. But he says, you know, in Hebrews, you know, if you'll come unto me, I will come unto you. And this is the first step that we must take. We must say, oh Lord, I acknowledge my sins, and oh God, receive me gracefully. And the thing is this, that as we come back, these things have got to be taken out of our heart. And it's quite a long process sometimes. Well, here it is, you see, and Jeremiah is the chosen vessel of God to call his backslidden people to return unto him. And that is one of the great messages of the church in the last days. You know, the restoration of the backslider. And it starts off, as Hosea the prophet says in chapter 14, only acknowledge thy sins. See, take with you words and say, I have sinned, you see. And, you know, it is so important that we don't tarry, because eternity is going to depend on our life here below. And the sooner we come back to God, and the sooner we get cleansed and purified, then we can go on to becoming fruitful in God and having an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm exhorting you, you know, as though I spoke like Jeremiah, I'm pleading with you, you know, to return unto God. Now then, you know, it is a very difficult ministry that Jeremiah had been called to. And he starts off with saying, look, Lord, I'm but a child. I can't possibly speak to these people. And God says, oh, don't say that you're a child. For I will put my words into your lips. I will put my words into your lips. And you shall go to everyone that I send you to. You know, one of the most difficult things is to go to a backslider, because he knows the truth, he knows the way, and he knows you're right. But so often, you know, he becomes antagonistic. You know, we've just had a wedding, and the bride kept herself pure, the bridegroom kept himself pure. We have our, shall I say, this, our code of conduct here in Zion for those who want to marry. And we say you must keep apart, you know, when you're getting to know one another, you know, your courtship, no physical contact, so that when you arrive at the altar to be married, you're pure. Well, we've just had a marriage in which I said the bride and bridegroom kept themselves pure. But, you know, in that congregation, amongst the wedding guests, were those who had been taught that way. And they had left the path of righteousness. And the result was, when they saw the bride coming down so, you know, with absolute purity, you know, some of these girls burst into tears, uncontrollably sobbing, because they had left the paths of righteousness. They no longer had the purity of their virginity. And they were going to marry not one of God's choice, but someone who did not know Christ and was not walking uprightly and so forth. And they realized what they had forfeited. Oh, the wonders of a Christian marriage, when the bride and bridegroom have kept themselves pure, the beautiful purity of the anointing of God and the sealing of God's Spirit upon that marriage. Well, here was Jeremiah, and he was going to speak to the people concerning the fact that they had once been pure, that there was a love of the espousals of Israel to the Lord, but they had left him. But you see, God says, you know, you've gone after other people. You've gone after other things. You have indeed become immoral. You've indeed corrupted yourself. But you know what God says through the prophet Jeremiah? But return unto me. Return unto me. There is always the heart of the Father. You know, the Lord spoke to me some little time ago, and he said, I'm a father. And the thought was there that he went on to say that he loved every one of his children. It's like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, the son that went far away, but when the son decided to return, you know, the father was there, his arms open. He ran towards his son. This son who had defiled himself, the son who got into prostitution and all the wickedness of this world. And yet, the father was there as soon as the son turned and came to the father was there to embrace. And you see, this is what I want to emphasize. This is going to be the theme of Jeremiah. a Father in heaven who absolutely wants you to come back to him, and he will receive you graciously, and he will love you. But you've got to come back on his terms. You've got to come back on the grounds of confession and willingness to forsake your sin and to be cleansed of that sin, to have that sin rooted out of you, to have those imaginations and those desires pulled down, thrown down. And then when the ground is cleansed, then God can put back and renew the joy of his salvation. And so as we open this series on the selections from Jeremiah, I invite you to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I've sinned, but receive me graciously. And Lord, I ask you to root out all the baggage, all the sinfulness that is in my heart and in my life, so that you might plant again the beautiful seed of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And so that my heart again can be a beautiful garden, like the Garden of Eden, full of the fruit of the Spirit. God bless you. Come back to the Lord.